Today's daf is Bava Metzia daf Yud Zayin. We are 14 lines from the top of daf Tez Zayin Amid Beis Omar Shmu. Today's daf is being learned as a schus for Achenu Bnei Yisrael Hanasun Batzara Vashivya. Today's daf is also being learned as a schus for Pur Shalema for Aaron Ben Leah Beva. So the Mishnah on daf Yud Beis Amid Beis discussed somebody that finds a shtar choyv, and the question is, does he return the shtar to the malva, or does he return the shtar to the loiva? There's a lot at stakes, the dollar value of the shtar. And the Mishnah said, it depends. If the shtar has achrayis nechasim, so then Rameyu Shita is lo yachzer. If the shtar does not have achrayis nechasim, Rameyu Shita is yachzer. The Chachamim say ben kach ben kach lo yachzer. It doesn't matter whether the shtar has achrayis nechasim, the shtar does not have achrayis nechasim. Either way, the halacha is lo yachzer. What's pshat in Shitas Rameir? That was a major discussion on Daf Yud Gimel and Daf Yud Dalet. Several shitois in the Amirah. What's the hezber and the machloikis between Rameir and the Chachamim? Achrayis toy sefer or achrayis is not toy sefer. Either way, the Gemara took the lead of the Mishnah and used it as an opportunity to do what it often does, and that is digress, and it got involved in different sugyas related to achrayis nechasim. The first Gemara that we are going to learn right now is really going to return to the regular program, which is the Mishnah on Daf Yud Beis Amid Beis, which discusses somebody that finds a shtar chayv. Zok the Gemara, Amar Shmuel, Hamoitzi shtar haknoah b'shuk. If somebody finds a shtar haknoah in the shuk, yachziru lebailim, he should return it to the bailim, meaning he should give it to the malva. So what's a shtar haknoah? So we saw this earlier in the sugya. A shtar haknoah is a shtar that says that somebody intends on borrowing money from somebody, and he is already from now being meshabed all his assets, all his nechasim to this loan. It's a very big chiddush, and I'm not sure which attorney would advise his client to sign a document like this. But ordinarily, if somebody borrows money from someone, there's an inherent shiva that comes along with the loan. In this case, the shtar says that whether there is a loan, whether there's not a loan, that's semantics. Right now, you're being meshabed all your nechasim for this loan. In fact, Rashi says that the reason this shtar was called a shtar hakna is because the way the shibud went into effect was by making a kinyan. Ordinarily, you don't have to make a kinyan for a shibud to go into effect because the chayv itself is what creates the shibud. But being that this shibud is something that is in effect regardless of the chayv, therefore you need to have some mechanism to create the shibud. That mechanism was a good old-fashioned kinyan. Pick up the proverbial yarmulke and have a mind for this shibud to go into effect. And it's for that reason the shtar itself was called the shtar hakna. But either way, Shmuel said, if somebody finds a shtar hakna in the shog, the halach is you give the shtar to the malva, says Shmuel. And I'll explain to you why. What are you worried about? You're worried that maybe this shtar really doesn't represent a loan that happened. Meaning, maybe malva and loiva were intending on effectuating a loan. They sat down to write the shtar, but ultimately the loan never happened. Doesn't make a difference. Hashabin nafshe. By definition, a shtar haknoah is a shtar that represents a shibud regardless of whether there was a loan. Meaning, if this was a regular shtar chayv, then you have to ask yourself, maybe the chayv never took place. But when you're dealing with a shtar haknoah, that's not a question you even need to ask. Maybe you're concerned that it's true, this is a real shtar, and once upon a time it was in the possession of the malva, but maybe the loiva already paid his loan. If the loiva borrowed the money and then he paid the loan, so at this point the shtar haknoah is already bottled, says Shmuel, I'm not worried about Perayin. He said the parik, because if you're going to tell me that the loiva paid the loan, mikra have a karali. Then what he would have done was, he would have demanded the shtar in return, and he would have torn it immediately. And if that's the case, if there's a shtar floating around that was not torn, for sure it fell from the reshus of the malva. The only thing you can think of is maybe kasav lil vayis v'loy lof. That's something that needs to be discussed when you're dealing with a shtar chayv. Oh, and by the way, the Gemara did discuss it in great length on Daf Yud Gimel and Daf Yud Dalet, but here we're dealing with a shtar haknoah. Over here, that's not something you have to worry about. Amar Rav Nachman said, Abba, my father, min safi dayani demar Shmuel Hava. He was one of the dayanim of the master Shmuel, meaning he was a soifer, he was a scribe, he was someone that worked in the court of Shmuel. Vavina kibar shisa kibar sheva. And I remember I was a young child. I was 6 or 7 years old. V'dachinu davam machrasi v'amri. And I remember they would say the following. Hani shtori aknaisa de mishtakchi b'shuka. Apparently this is something that would happen. That if a shtar akna is found in the shuk, nadrinu l'marayu, you're supposed to give it back to the malva. You give it back to the owner, which supports what we just said, Shmuel himself said. So Shmuel said it, and Rav Nachman said, I remember as a child, I used to drezach together with my father. He would take me to work sometimes. And I would hear that it's Shmuel's best, then they used to say this halach. Rav Amram said, that there's a raya from a Mishnah to this halach of Shmuel. What does the Mishnah say? And this Mishnah is on Daf Chof Amarav. Kol Maisa Bezdin, Hareza Yachsa. Anytime you have a star that is found, and this star is a quote-unquote Maisa Bezdin. See what that means in a minute. The halach is you always return that shtar to the initial holder of the shtar. So, for example, if it's a shtar chayiv, you would always return it to the mouth. Alma, what do you see from here? Loi chayshino lepiroyin. That we're not chayish fepiroyin. Now, the way Rashi explains the afana nami tanino is as follows. The Gemara assumes that the maisa bezdin is a shtar chayiv that has a henpek, meaning a shtar chayiv that's mekoyim. We know that although mi'ikar adin, if somebody has a shtar that says that somebody owes him money, the halach is that this person can collect money with that shtar. Stating that, Chazal b'meshach hadoris realized that people would sometimes sign their name on a piece of paper, and they did it even though they weren't being erluch, and they made a takana that the only time a person could ever collect with a shtar is if you mekayim the shtar. A shtar mekuyim is what's known as a shtar that has a hempik. So says the Mishnah that even though there's a whole sugi in Shas, if somebody finds a shtar chayv, what you do with it, that's only if the shtar doesn't have a hempik. But if the shtar has a hempik, at that point, I raise a yachzer, for sure you're going to give it to the malva. Now, what do you see from here, says Rav Amram? You see from here, loy chayshin al lepiroin. Meaning, you see that we're never concerned that if you find a shtar on the street, maybe the loyva paid the shtar. Because if you'd be concerned that the loyva paid the shtar, then what difference does it make whether the shtar has a hempik or whether the shtar does not have a hempik? Now, what's taka the chilek if the shtar has a hempik or doesn't have a hempik? So Rashi says the chilek is a shtar that has a hempik, you assume for sure the loan took place. If the shtar doesn't have a hempik, that's when you have a chash kos of lilvois v'loy lava. And the reason is because to give a shtar a hempik was a little bit of a tircha, and ordinarily they didn't go through this tircha unless the loan actually happened. So a shtar she yesh by hempik, you can assume is a real shtar. Thus, it would make sense that you'd give it to the malva. If, however, you worry because of lilvois for loylava, then it makes no difference if the shtar has a hempik or doesn't have a hempik. Must be, we're never worried for piroyin. Thus, this is a raya to what Shmuel said. Meaning, what was Shmuel's chiddush? Just to get this clear. Shmuel's chiddush was that if somebody finds a shtar chayv, the reason there's a mishnah and dafin in the end of Perek Shnayim Moichsen that talk about what you do with the shtar is only based on the fact because you don't know for sure that this loan ever happened. Maybe it was kasav lilvois v'loy lava. And as we saw earlier in the sugya, there's a reyesa from the fact that the shtar was found in the shuk. But the point is, it's only because of that chashash. There's no other chashash. What other chashash could there maybe have been? Maybe you're concerned that this loan happened, but the loiva already paid it. Shmuel's chiddush was loy chashin l'peroin. How did Shmuel say his halacha? A shtar hakna. A shtar hakna is a shtar where there's no chashash of kasav lilvois v'loy lava because it doesn't matter. It's neither here nor there. The only chashash would be piroin. Loy chashin l'peroin. A shtar hakna, you're always going to give to the malva. Rav Amram said there's another nafkamina. That nafkamina would be a maisa bezin, where there's a hempik. Where there's a hempik, there's no chash kos of lilvois v'loy lava. There is always a chash piroyin. But if the Mishnah says that when there's a maisa bezin, I raise a yachzi, you always give it to the malva. So you seem a furish that you're not worried for piroyin. The only thing you'd be worried about is kos of lilvois v'loy lava. So even though the example of the Mishnah later is not the same example of Shmuel, Shmuel's talking about a shtar hakna, the Mishnah later is talking about a shtar sheyesh b'hempik. But at the end of the day, they're both totally in the same exact thing. Chayshina lepiroyin, aloy chayshina lepiroyin. Thus, if the Mishnah says, kol maisa and I raise a yachzer, that's a very strong raya to Shmuel's halacha. But the Gemara says, somebody, Rab Zeira heard Rav Amram's raya, and he said, you have no raya. And the reason is, masnisen b'shtori chaltosa v'adracht. It could be the Mishnah over there that says, kol maisa bezan, raise a yachzer. It's not talking about a regular shtar choy that has a hempik. Rather, it's talking either about shtori chaltosa, or it's talking about a shtar adrachta, the lav b'nei piroy ninu, and these shtaris are not shtaris that are b'nei piroyim, meaning if somebody made a payment, it wouldn't impact, it would have no bearing on these shtars. So what exactly is a shtar chaltasa, and what exactly is a shtar adrachta? So a shtar chaltasa, Rashi says, is a shtar that Beis Din gives a person who was being tevei money from somebody, and this person didn't pay up, and finally had no choice, and they seized this person's property, and they gave it over to the tevei. So there's a malva, there's a loiva, the loiva is not paying his loan, it goes through the legal system, and at some point there's a foreclosure. So the courts take this asset, and they hand it over to the malva, and they write a shtar, they document it, they chronicle exactly what happened. This piece of property, although formerly it belonged to the loiva, now it's going to belong to the malva. Right now, moving forward, this piece of property is 100% in the possession of the malva. What's an adrachta? An adrachta is where there's a malva and a loiva. The loiva is not making any payments, and the courts tell the malva that we give you permission to try to find assets that maybe this loiva is hiding, and when you find them, you're going to have a right to seize them. So they may inyan le inyan, but they're not the same thing. The shtar chaltasa is when the malva physically has possession of this piece of property. The shtar adrachta is the shtar that gives him the right to walk into this person's rishos. It's like a search warrant. And you now have permission to try to find the property, seize it, and take it. Says the Gemara, a shtar chaltasa and a shtar adrachta, Peroyan doesn't make a difference. And it's for that reason that the halach is that if you find this Maisa Beis Din, the halach is you give it to the malva. Meaning, could be la'olam chayshim la'peroyan. And therefore, if somebody would find a shtar choy that has a hempik, even though it's technically a Maisa Beis Din, the halach is, I don't know if you give it to the malva, maybe this loan was already paid. You're right. You know for sure that this was a real shtar. There's no chash kos of luva is for loilava, but maybe there's a chash peroy. But that's not what the Mishnah is talking about. The Mishnah is talking about where it was either a shtar chaltos or shtar adrachta. Over there, payment wouldn't make a difference. And being that over there, payment wouldn't make a difference. So the whole chash is isn't real. It's a maisa bezin. Of course, it's real. Kos of peroyin. Was Peroyan have to do with anything? And as a result, there the halach is malva, but loilam there's no right. There's no frey toisvis. Very tois, second tois on the Amid, the Pishlay Mishtar Chaltasa, I understand. Meaning, once there's a Shtar Chaltasa, that means the Malva owns the property. The Loiva can pay from today till tomorrow, you're a day late and a dollar short, and as a result, the Malva owns it. So there's no Chashash Piroyan, then not Binei Piroyan. A Bernadrachta just means that I have the right to seize your property. To the extent that you pay off the loan, well, now the adrachta is a meaningless adrachta. So the Gemara says that a chaltasa and an adrachta la b'nei piroin. I understand why the chaltasa is not b'nei piroin. But why is the adrachta not b'nei piroin? Tosfos says a pshat, and then at the very, very end, the last line, Tosfos says, v'yesh svarim d'loy garsin an adrachta. He says, I found manuscripts of Gemara that actually didn't have the girsa adrachta, and if that's the case, that certainly would answer this question. Zok de Gemara. But even on shtar chaltasa, I still have a problem. Oh my Rav, honey left bnei piroyin. Is that true? That once there's a shtar chaltasa, meaning once the malva seizes the property of the leiva, at that point, even if the leiva makes a payment, it's too late, he can't get it back. Meaning piroyin makes no impact on the shtar chaltasa. I mean, Nardoi, they say in Nehardo, that if something like this happens, where a malva has to seize property from a loiva, so up until 12 months, if the loiva comes up with the money, he has an option to get his property back. Amemer said, I come from Nehardo, vesvirli, I hold better, the shuma hada loivam, that you could always get it back. The bottom line is, there is a mokin for piroyin, even when it comes to a shtar chaltasa and a shtar adrachto. Because you see, there's a halacha of shuma hada, atresa yarchishasa, maybe even forever, and it's the halacha is that you give it back to the malva. So again, you see, loichashina leperoyin, ela marava. So Rava said, you have to say a different teretz. Hasam, haynu taima. The reason that the halacha is there, that when chayish fepiroyin, is when it comes to a shtar chaltos and shtar adrachto, when not chayish leperoyin, is domino, because we say, ihu da'asera nafshe. This person was mafsid himself, meaning the beidno de pare, because at the time that he paid, iboyle lemikre lishtari, he should have torn the shtar, inami lemichtev shtara achrina ilove, or he should have written another shtar. Meaning, lo'oilam, the Mishnah is talking about a shtar adrachto or a shtar chaltos. And over there, the halacha taka is that hareze yachser to the malva. And it's over there that loy chayshina lepiroin. But it's still not a raya to Shmuel's halacha that by a regular shtar choyf, loy chayshina lepiroin. What's the difference? Why would we be chayesh lepiroin by a regular shtar choyf? Thus, you have no raya to Shmuel. But we wouldn't be chayesh lepiroin when it comes to a shtar chaltos and shtar adrachto. So Rav is saying a technical difference. This nafkemina in terms of understanding the piroyin of a regular shtar chayv versus a loiva paying up a loan when it already was seized, the property was seized by the malva, when it's already in the chaltosa stage. And the difference is when it comes to a shtar chaltosa, there we assume that if you're paying back the loan and you somehow didn't get the shtar back and tear it up, you were mafsid yourself. Because you should have actioned tzachos and you should have said, I'm not giving you the money once you have my property, unless you give me back the shtar. Inami, or at the very least, l'michtav shtar achrinei loveh. You should have torn up the shtar. And the Gemara says, alam the reason why. The medina ara loybay l'mahadar. Because once there's a chaltasa, even though in Ahardoi they said, shuma hadar atresa yarchi shasa, or shuma hadar lo'ilam, but the way we look at it is that really the property right now belongs 100% to the malva. Once the malva has this property via the chaltasa, at that point we look at it as if it's his. The only reason shuma is hadar, mishum da vasisa yashav atoi b'eni Hashem, udur abonat the tahadar. Because it's an idea, a person is supposed to be yasha, a person is supposed to be toi. And the decent thing to do is to actually return. But the point is really what happens when a loiva pays back a loan, when it's in the chaltasa, stage is he's buying it back. Hilkach may reish with the kasafin. The way we look at it is right now, he's buying it, and if he's buying it, he buys like the michtav shtar zvini. Who buys something without a shtar? You're going to buy something without that documenting the fact that you bought it. So from the fact that you did not demand the shtar in return or demand a shtar that says that you just bought it, at this point we assume for sure that if the shtar fell, it fell from the malva, and as a result, you can't come now and you can't tie up a righty. However, gabi shtar chayv, as it relates to a shtar chayv, my yikulamim. Why are you telling me loy chashina leperayim? Because in bisa the pare, because if he paid it, he boyle the mikri the shtar. You shouldn't have taken the shtar. You should have torn it. Emer says the Gemara that maybe this is not a tiny. You know why? Because ishtamut they come ishtamutle. Maybe the loy v'taka paid the loan and he went to the malva and he said, "Give me back my shtar." And what happened was the malva told him, of course I understand I have to give it to you, but I happen not to have the shtar now. And he told him, tomorrow you hibna lach. Right now I don't have it, I'll give it to you tomorrow. Inami, alternatively, another reason why maybe the loiva didn't get the shtar was apshiti de safra zayale. Because maybe the loiva didn't want to pay the legal fees yet. So we know that the loiva was always responsible for the legal fees. And the way it would play itself out is that if there was ever a shtar chayv, the loiva would have to pay whatever, you know, fees were going to be associated with this shtar. Let's say the loiva didn't have the money. So the malva sometimes would loan it to him anyways, but he would tell him, here's the deal. On the back end, you're going to have to pay, right? So at the time that you pay back the loan, you're going to want the shtar in return. I'm not going to release the shtar to you unless you pay it. But the point is, it could be really the shtar where the chayv was paid, and the reason the loiva didn't get the shtar to be able to tear it was because of the fact that he didn't pay the legal fees, and as a result, it fell from the melva, but la'olam the shtar was really paid. The point the Gemara is saying is like this. The point is that Shmuel said a chiddush loy chayshina leperayin. He said even by a shtar choyv loy chayshina leperayin. The Gemara said have a raya. The raya is from a mishnah that you see that kol ma'isa bez and dalach is yachzer to the melva. The Gemara assumed it's talking about a regular shtar choyv. The Gemara says not muchach is talking about a regular shtar choyv. Maybe it's talking about a shtar chaltasa. Okay, but even by a shtar chaltasa, why are you giving it back to the malva? Maybe there was peroin. Oh, so you see, like chashin le peroin. And for the Gemara, this is a little bit nuanced. That it's true, you see, regarding a shtar chaltosa, like chashin le peroin. But it's not a raya to Shmuel who said that even by a shtar choiv, like chashin le peroin. Because there's a dafgamina between a shtar chaltosa and between a shtar choiv. A shtar chaltosa, the way we look at the peroin is not that you're paying back your own loan. The loan got paid when the property was seized. The way we look at it is you're now buying a piece of property. Nobody buys a piece of property unless he can prove that he just bought it. So either give me back the shtar chaltasa, that will work, or give me a new shtar. And that says that I bought it. So from the fact that right now the shtar fell, for sure, and the loiva doesn't have another shtar to show that he ever bought back this piece of property, meaning that he ever paid the underlying loan, so for sure we assume it fell from the malva, because if he gave the shtar back, then the loiva would have torn up. So you see for sure loy chayshin on the piroyin when it comes to a shtar chaltas, but that's not yet a raya that when it comes to a shtar chayv, because the shtar chayv, the psychology is different. I'm not buying something new, I'm paying back an old loan. And sometimes people will pay back an old loan without getting back the shtar. Why? I don't know. Either ishtamut they come ishtamut. Now, why would you pay back the loan? You felt an obligation. You know you borrowed money. You know you have a responsibility to pay it back. And You thought you were doing the right thing. Eved loy v'lish malva, this is your job, and you decided to pay it. Again, bad advice, but the reality is it could happen. Or it could be he pashut didn't have the legal fees, and as a result, he never got the shtar back. But because of the fact that the shtar fell, here's the punchline, even from the malva is not a raya that it wasn't paid. Because it could be he paid it. If he paid it, he would have gotten the shtar back and he would have torn it. It could be he paid it and it fell from the hands of the malva. The Gemara gave two scenarios of how that might have happened. Again, this is like a little bit of a postscript to the Gemara's earlier in the Sugya and Daf Yud Gimel and Daf Yud Dalet. Not the easiest Gemara in Shas, but either way, that's the takeaway over here. Before we go weiter, just one interesting Ara. So the Gemara says, what's the lightest line that we learned here in this first Amud? Amar Rav Nachman, Abba Min Safri Dayani Demar Shmuel Hava. My father, this is Rav Nachman talking, was one of the scribes of the Dayanim of Shmuel. So who is Rav Nachman's father? It's actually a major machlokes Rashi in Tosfos. Getting the flamed aleph on the base. Pashtos, Rav Nachman was Rav Nachman bar Yaakov. Rashi says a chiddush nifla that nobody understands. Rashi says that Stam Rav Nachman in Shas was actually Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak. So we're very familiar with Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak. He's mentioned everywhere. We're also very familiar with Rav Nachman, one of the most often mentioned Amoraim in Shas. Rashi has a shita that Rav Nachman, as in Stam Rav Nachman, and Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak were the same Amoraim. Tosfos can't even believe Rashi said that. There's a long Tosfos in Gittin Lamed Aleph on the days. But either way, when Rav Nachman said, Abba min Safri Dayoni demar Shmuel Abba, it's totally in the Machlokes Rashi and Tosfos who his father was. If Rav Nachman is Rav Nachman by Yaakov, then it was a Yid Rav Yaakov. And if Rav Nachman is Rav Nachman by Yitzchak, then it was a Yid Rav Yitzchak. I'll tell you one interesting thing, and that is that who is Rav Nachman's Rebbe? So throughout Shas, you find Amar Rav Nachman, Amar Rav, and you find Amar Rav Nachman, Amar Shmuel. In fact, I saw in the Toldos Tanan Vamayron, so he gives you a few examples of where you have Amar Rav Nachman, Amar Shmuel. I'll just mention a few. Brachas Chav Zayin, Brachas Chav Tes, Brachas Lamed Ches, Shabbos Nun Zayin, Erevin Tes Zayin, Erevin Chav Dalet, Erevin Lamed Beis, Erevin Mem Aleph, Erevin Mem Beis, Erevin Mem Zayin, Erevin Nun Tes, Erevin Samach, Erevin Pei Dalet. Psochim Mem, Psochim Mem Hei, Psochim Kuvav, Yuma Pei Gimel, Yuvamas Mem Beis, Nun Vav, Samach Aleph, Samach Zayin, Pei Hei, Ksubas Yud, Nun Dal, Nun Vav, Pei Zayin, Kitten, you get the gist of it. But either way, he has a whole list of Amar Rav Nachman, Amar Shmuel. And he says that he saw in the Seyda Adoyres said that Rav Nachman's Rebbe Mubik was Shmuel. And he says you can't blame the Seyda Adoyres for writing that. I mean, throughout Shas, Rav Nachman is quoting Shmuel. But the Toldos Tanan Vamayram says a chiddush. He says, I hold it's not true. I hold that Rav Nachman was not a Talmud of Shmuel. And his raya, which is interesting, unless you're holding in the sugya of Toldos Tanan Vamayram, is that you don't find anywhere in Shas that Rav Nachman and Shmuel conversed. You never find, says the Toldos Tanan Vamayram, that Rav Nachman asks Shmuel a question and Shmuel responds. It's just not something you find. Now, if that's the case, it doesn't sound like he learned by him. Because if he learned by him, there would be exchanges. Now, what does Amar Rav Nachman Amar Shmuel mean? It says it's Poshet. Shmuel was Rav and Shokol B'nei Agoyla. Shmuel was the Shiv in Harda. Rav Nachman grew up in Harda. He quotes, interestingly, our Gemara, where the Gemara says that Rav Nachman, when he was 6 or 7 years old, he was already drain in the court of Shmuel. So you see, he knew what was going on with Shmuel, but he says, besides, saying go for Rav Shmuel is like Yeshiva Bach, saying go for a Baruch Ber. So everyone knew what Shmuel had to say. Avad, you grew up in the Harda, you knew all the Prisketairas, you knew Shmuel's Lamdas. And he said, I'll prove it to you. He said, because I've never found one Gadol who was Isaac in Toldos Tanan Vamayram who said that Rav Nachman was a Talmud of Rav. Again, this all sounds like news to us. But he says, there's no basis to say that Rav Nachman was a Talmud of Rav. Yet, Amar Rav Nachman, Amar Rav, has a Rishima, which is not as impressive as Amar Rav Nachman, Amar Shmuel, but it's pretty good. So why is Rav Nachman quoting Rav if no one ever thought that Rav Nachman was a Talmud of Rav? The Teretz is because Rav was also Rav and Shalkol B'nei Agoyla. Rashi says in Be'er that the reason Rav was called Rav is because he was Rav and Shalkol B'nei Agoyla. But Al Kaponim, the point is that the Shmuis of Rav and Shmuel, they were Shkurois, Befi, Kala, Yeshiva, Bachrim. So everybody knew all the halachis of Rav and Shmuel. So incidentally, it says, told us Tanav Amiran, so if Rav Nachman's Rebbe was not Rav, for sure, and Lanias Daitoi, not even Shmuel, so who was his Rebbe? So who was Rav Nachman, the great Rav Nachman's Rebbe? says it was Rabba Bar Avua. And he brings Kama V'Kama Rayas, a list, incidentally, that's longer than the Amar Rav Nachman Amar Shmuel list, where you find that Rav Nachman was Mekabel from Rabba Bar Avua, and he says, not just that, there's so many Gemaras where Rav Nachman and Rabba Bar Avua are talking, and Rav Nachman goes to Rabba Bar Avua and he says, tell me, what's Pshat in this? What's Pshat in that? He says, that to me sounds like a Talmud Rebbe. That doesn't sound like someone that's just saying over London that he saw in Birch Shmuel Chelik Beis. Pshat is, he's talking to him as a Talmud. Oh, he's a Talmud. That's already a whole different Indian. I was thinking, I don't know if this is a raya, but what came to mind was a Gemara that we learned together not so long ago. The Gemara is in the end of Agoyz Aleitzim, Daf Tzadik Vav Amid Beis, Bava Kama. The Gemara says that Rav Nachman once issued a very controversial psak about a certain ganiv, and they gave him a hard time. And Rav Nachman says, don't ever question a psak that I give as it relates to something in Dine Mamadis. You know why? Because Huna Chavrin, or Chavr Huna, said that me and Shvar Malka are brothers when it comes to Dina. So Rashi says, who is Shvar Malka? Shvar Malka was the Melech of Persia at that time. He was the proverbial Achashverish at that Kufa. Right? He was also a Melech Paras. But the point is, me and Shvar Malka are brothers. So Rashi says, who is Shvar Malka? Who is Shmuel? Why was Shmuel called Shvar Malka? He was called Shvar Malka because the halacha is always like Shmuel when it comes to Dini. That means as Melech, and as a result, sometimes he was referred to in this way as Shvar Malka. But it was interesting that Rav Nachman refers to Shmuel as Shvar Malka, but even more so, me and my Rebbe are brothers. Shmuel, my Rebbe, and me are brothers. That whole line is a little muzzle. But if Rav Nachman is a Talmud Muvik of Shmuel, would Rav Baruch Beis say me and Rav Chaim were brothers? He was bottled him ka'afredara. Even though Rav Baruch Beis was Rav Baruch Beis, but it doesn't matter. That's Keminig, the Talmidim, the Gedoyim, Eitzel Rabbi Seyem. But the point is that line a little bit is mashma that maybe they taka warrant Talmid Rabbi. Either way, just to lighten up the daf a little bit, we'll do it again soon. Says the Gemara, Amar Rabbi Avo, we'll need it soon. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Amoitzin Shtarchoiv Bishok, if somebody finds a Shtarchoiv in the Shok, Alpha Bishokasa by Hempik, even though there's a Hempik written on it, Lo Yachziru Labailim, you should not return it to the Bailam. So if somebody finds a shtar chayv in the shuk, even if it has a hempik, still that loch is, don't return it. Says the Gemara, let me buy a hecha, the like kosev buy hempik. That's posh if there would be no hempik. Avadi would return it to the Bailam. What would be the halacha? Refer to the Mishnah, daf yud beis amud beis, and daf yud gimel, daf yud al. Tikkel meim kosev lovus v'loy lava, because maybe they'll know never even happened. They'll have to kosev buy hempik, even if there's a hempik. Umayni yud emekoyim, meaning, what does a hempik mean? You'll know this, it means there's a kiyum. Still lo yachse, the chashin ala peroyin, because we are chayish for piroyin. In other words, Rab Avo said in the name of Rabbi Yochanan the exact opposite of what Shmuel said. Shmuel said, loy chayishin ala peroyin, the only thing you ever worried about when you find the shtar chayiv is maybe the loan never happened. But if that's a moot point, why? Because there's a hempik, or what was Shmuel's example? A shtar hakna. So over there, avada, the halach is going to be, you return it to the bailim, because loy chayishin leperayin. Avo sent the name Rabbi Yochanan just the opposite. It says, Rabbi Yemi, the Rabbi Avo, Rabbi Yemi asked Rabbi Avo, from the Mishnah called Maise Bezdin, Hareza Yachzer. So when Shmuel said, loy chayishin leperayin, Rabbi Amram said, afana nami tonina from this Mishnah. Where Rabbi Yochanan said, chayishin on leperayin, Eisevei. So the Gemara asks Akasha from this Mishnah, Amalei, so Rabbi Avo told Rabbi Yirmiyah, Yirmiyah Beri, my son Yirmiyah, lo yikol Maisa Bezdin Shavin. Just because it says in the Mishnah, Maisa Bezdin, not all Maisa Bezdins were created equally. Elo kengoin shehuchse kafra. That Mishnah is talking about where it's true. It's a shtar sheyesh by hempik, and the halach is to give it to the malva, but the reason is because it's talking about where the loiva was a huchse kafra, meaning this Loiva has a history, and he's someone that's on the don't trust list, right? He's someone that at one point was a kafrin, and as a result, a person like that can't tie up a righty if he can't tie up a righty, so there's nothing to worry about. Chashin leperayin, why? Because he's going to say paraiti. Even if he says paraiti, we're not going to believe him. As if to say, a huchzik kafrin can't say paraiti. Amar Rava, but Rava said, umishum the huchzik kafrin, chadazim nasu lai parakla. That seems cruel and unusual. You want to tell me huchzik kafrin, we don't trust his shvuah? Maybe. He can't say paraiti to the point there's no chash peroyin anymore. Bezin doesn't even entertain the possibility that he paid because one time he was a kafrin. That doesn't seem fair. Elam Rava. So Rava said something else. Our mission is not a kasha because you could always be moik in the mission. Rab Zera did it in the discussion regarding Shmuel's memory, and that is, it's talking about a chaltosa and an adrachta. Over there, loy chay shin le peroyin based on the svara that the Gemara gave, but as it relates to a regular shtar chay, it could be it's going to be different. Says the Gemara. V'kafran, hoyu v'osa liyada name of a milsa. We just mentioned a kafran. No, we've been doing this for the last week. So let's say over a halacha, that's not really related to our sugya, but at the same time, it has shaykhis to a kafran. Om Rabbi Yosef Barman Yumi, Rabbi Nachman. Rabbi Yosef Barman Yumi, send the name Rabbi Nachman. Om Rulai. So the context over here is where there was a court case. And there's a malven, a loyven. These people are fighting about whether this loan is outstanding, it's not outstanding, it was paid, it wasn't paid. The bottom line is, there's a malven that's saying, you owe me money. There's a loyven saying, I paid you. I don't owe you money. Whatever. Says the Gemara, what happens if after Bezdin investigated this case, they said, say tenu. They told the loyven, go and give him the money. And then a month later, the Malvis Tever, the Loiva Tebezdin, and he says, you didn't pay me. And he says, it's not true, Paraiti, I did pay. Nemon, the Aloch is that he's going to be believed. Now, Rashi says that even though we say that the Loiva is going to be believed to say Paraiti, he's going to be believed to say Paraiti only with a Shvuos Hasses. And the reason is because a person that says Paraiti is the equivalent of saying Lehoyot Var Meyoylon. And the Aloch is a Kaifra Koil always has to switch Shvuos Hasses. But the point is that despite the fact that at one point this Malva and Aloiva were fighting whether it was paid or not paid, and Bezdin Paskin that it wasn't paid, meaning you have to pay, and they said say Tainloy, doesn't mean that in a month from now if he says I paid it, meaning subsequent post this whole story, that he shouldn't be believed. He's believed. He's like guard from any other person says variety. And Allah is a person says variety, albeit with a shvuah says he's going to be believed. This will come to life a little bit more in the safe over Rav Nachman said. What happens, however, and additionally, Bam Malva Lichtoy. So if the Malva would come and the Malva would say, you know, this guy never paid me. Bezin had to say, Tain, I'm telling you, never paid me. I want an adrachta. In case of the noisal, what do you mean you want an adrachta? He has a right to say, I paid, and with a Shavuos Hasses, we're going to trust him. What happens, however, if Bezdin didn't say, Tzei Tenloi, but they said, Chayev Atoli Tenloi. They didn't say, go pay. They just said, you're obligated to pay. And then they walked out of Bezdin. And then a month later, the Malva goes over to the Levi and he says, I want you to pay me. And he says, Paraiti, dear, the halach is Enoi Nemon. He's not going to be believed. At that point, you lose your ability to say, Paraiti. In fact, Bom Malva Lichtoiv, if the Malva comes and he says, I want an Adracht because this person hasn't paid yet, Koisnev and Oisnaloi, the halach is we're going to write an Adracht of him. And the reason is as follows. The reason is because initially this person was saying that, I don't owe your money, or I paid already. Now, what changed? Bezdin said you have to pay. If Bezdin said, say Tenloy, so then we assume that this person in his mind understands, okay, I lost the court case. If I lost the court case, so beside that, I'm willing to pay. And just because he once tried getting out of this court case doesn't mean that once Bezdin says you have to pay, that he's not an Erlich guy and now he's going to pay. And as a result, albeit with a Shavuos Hasses, if he says Paraiti, he's going to have an Emunah. So you don't just say, yeah, write an Adrachta, we're assuming for sure that we disregard what this person says and for sure this loan is outstanding. If, however, this person was actioning Zechai saying that I don't have to pay you because I paid it already, and Bezdin Paskin that they said, Chayev Atolitein Loi, you're obligated to pay, but they didn't say Tzeitein Loi, then we assume that this person is probably hopeful that from the fact that Bezdin didn't tell me that I actually have to pay it, maybe Bezdin doesn't mean it. And maybe I'm really never going to have to pay it. And he's holding out per his original taina of paraiti, and therefore there's an umdin of the muchach that he didn't pay. And therefore, if he says paraiti now, we don't trust him, and therefore if the malva wants an adrachta, we're going to give the malva an adrachta. That's the point. The point is that when a person says, I don't want to pay, and the only thing that changes is that Bezdin says you do have to pay, so then we have a nuanced conversation. If Bezdin said, say Tengloy, that's in this person's mind, verdict from the court that you have to pay, no ifs, buts, or ands. Nope. So if that's the case, we assume that now he'll talk a pay. And if he says paraiti, he shouldn't have any less nemonis to say paraiti than any other person would. If, however, all Bezdin said was chayiv atalit eloi, so over there he's still holding out, like he's being medayik l'shoni azov shal Bezdin. He's saying, oh, Bezdin said chayiv, they didn't say tein loi, maybe they don't mean it, there's no way he's paying. Because you see, l'chatrili didn't want to pay. Right? That's the whole point. Being that lechatchila you didn't want to pay, so therefore, ordinarily, you probably wouldn't make this assumption. But being that lechatchila, this person we know for sure didn't want to pay, so is not going to move him. And as a result, if he says paraiti at this point, he's not going to have an amanus. Rav Zvid mishmeid Rav Nachman. Rav Zvid said the name Rav Nachman. Beit Sein Tein Loi Ben Chai Vatel Litin Loi Vama Paraiti. No, he didn't go for this nuance. He said it doesn't matter whether Bezdin said Sei Tein Loi or whether Bezdin said Chai Vatel Litin Loi. Either way, the halach is, he says paraiti at some later date, he's going to have namanus like any other person does. In fact, the malva wants to write an adrachta, even in the case of chayv atolitin loy, we're not going to write it him. But said Rab Zvid, meaning Rab Yosef ben Yumi said over the name of Rab Nachman that there's a chiluk between say tein loy chayv atolitin loy, whether the loy v'leder could say paraiti or not. Rab Zvid said, I didn't hear this from Rab Nachman. I heard Rab Nachman say it makes no difference whether it was a say tein loy or it was a chayv atolitin loy. Stating that, I did hear a chiluk, and I think it's a mission to yotz just a little bit. I think that you're confusing maybe say tein loy chayv atolitin loy, that Rab Nachman did make a distinction with regards to a different halacha. What was that halacha? Amrulayt seitein loy. What happens if Besin says seitein loy? For Amarni says paraiti I pay. For Edim meidin oisnoi shaloi para. And Edim say that he really didn't pay. So again, Besin said seitein loy. He said I paid. And then Edim come forward and they say loy para. The halacha is huchsi kafrin loy sumam. So big halacha. This person becomes becheskas kafrin regarding oisai mamin. And at this point, he'll never be believed again to say paraiti. In fact, not only won't he be believed to say paraiti, he loses migus, he loses chazokas, he loses everything. The only way he'll ever be able to be believed he paid is if he can bring Edim that say that he paid. But other than that, he's never going to be believed. Chayvat alitin loy. If Bezin didn't say tzeitain loy, but Bezin just said chayvat alitin loy, va'omar, and he said paraiti. So it turns out he lied, meaning he says paraiti, but it turns out that he wasn't telling the truth. Then later he says paraiti. He's not considered a kafran, meaning later he would be believed to say paraiti, or if he has migus, he has hilchas toyim v'nitin, and the reason is my time. But what's the difference? Ishtamut ehadikam ishtamet mineh, because we say that when he said paraiti, he wasn't trying to be a liar. He was trying to buy a little bit of time. Sover adam ainu bi rabbanan bedini, because maybe the rabbanan didn't fully investigate the din. Meaning, if Besin says seitein loy, so that's viewed as okay, it's game over. Seitein loy means I lost. So if I lost, why are you lying? Oh, you're a kafir. If you're a kafir, huchs a kafir lois a mamin, you lose all your ability to say paraiti. If, however, Bezin only said chayv atalitin lois, so we don't see this person as necessarily being a kafir, could be he's just stalling a little. He's just trying to buy a little bit of time. And being that all he's trying to do is buy a little bit of time, so therefore, he's not a kafir. If he's not a kafir, so then this halacha is not going to apply. Incidentally, Tosfos mutches a little bit. It's the top Tosfos on the Amid. Tosfos says that we know, the Gemara says in Sanhedrin, Davav Amid Beis. This is a Yesodus to Gemara. Heichi domi Gmar Din. Right? We know Gmar Din is a big deal in Halacha. Most notably, the sugya of Kachazama, right? The only time Edom become Edom Zayumin is if there was a Gmar Din. But it's the gay, so many different areas in Halacha. Heichi domi Gmar Din, says the Gemara. Ployni ato chayiv, ployni ato zakai. Not seitein loy, ployni ato chayiv. Here the Gemara seems to say that if all Bezin said was chayiv ato litein loy, Bezin's still doing their research. No, chayiv ato litein loy are the magic words. That is Bezin's way of saying that this is already a Gemar Din, and Tosfos says that it could be this two dinim in Gemar Din. This Gemar Din regarding certain halachas, but chayv atalitin le, as much as the Gemara refers to it as Gemar Din, but you see, it's not the Gemar Digmar Din. And there's this a level that goes beyond that, and that is seitein loy, and it could be in the world of the psychology of the plaintiff and the defendant in terms of understanding whether we should deem him a kafran or not deem him a kafran, it's going to happen af kamina. But what's this last halacha that we just said? It's important halacha. The halacha is that ordinarily, if somebody goes over to somebody and says, you owe me money, so the person can say, he could say, he could be a moidim amiktsas, he could say, paraiti. There's a whole bunch of tainis he could say, and there's a whole Shulchan Aruch, see the Bavis, in terms of, you know, how we go about treating someone that says that. But for sure, a person has a kayach taina, right? Sometimes you have to swish for a deraisa. Sometimes you believe with just a good old-fashioned migu. Sometimes you have to swish for a sesis. Sometimes it's chicken egg, the nishbam and oitel. Whatever. There's a whole Shulchan Aruch. But the bottom line is, a person has a kayach taina. What the Gemara is saying and attributing it to Rav Nachman is that once a person is huchsik kafrin lo oisay mamen, when it comes to this mamen, you're huchsik kafrin, at that point you lose your ability now to have any taina. And now the only way you'll ever be believed to say that you made a payment or lehayu dvar me'aylam is if you have edim. But without edim, we're not going to trust you. So the whole seidin nezikin and the whole chayshim mishpat and the whole payin v'nitin is no longer going to apply. The Rishonim say it's a din derabbanan. It's not a din derabbanan. It's a din derabbanan. That once a person is huchsik kafrin lo'isim moment, there's a knas hazah, and at that point you're going to lose your kayach hatayna. So the Gemara is going to continue on this theme. It says the Gemara, Rabbi Bar Bachanam, Rabbi Yochanan, Amar Rabbi Yadcha. If somebody goes off to someone and says you owe me a mod, not true. And Edom say that he owes him. And then afterwards, he said, this exact halacha that we just said. So it's not just Rav Nachman that said it, but Rav Yochanan said the same thing. The Gemara brings a Maaseh Shai Kachayah. Bereid Ramarinus. So Shapsoi, who was the son of Ramarinus, Kosav of the Kalase, Istala, the Melasa, Biksu Basa, the Kibla Aleph. So Shapsoi, Bereid Ramarinus, his son, got married. And the Shneer, so she brought Nechzitzoim Barzel into the marriage. And one of the things she brought was this Itztalud de Melasa, this very, very expensive dress. And it was written in the Ksuba that if and when this marriage is terminated, like all Nechzitzoim Barzel, the husband is going to have to give her not just the Mana and the Masayim and the Toysus Ksuba, but he's also going to have to give her the value of this Itztalud de Melasa. And the Shver, Shapsoi Berei de Ramirinus, he took Arevos on it. And he was Mekabal on himself, the Kiblala, right? It means he became an Arev. And he said, I'm willing to guarantee that if my son doesn't have the money to pay it, I'm going to pay it. Either way, Irchas Ksubasa. The marriage got terminated, the Ksuba got lost, and when the woman came and she said, you owe me the money for this very fancy beged that I brought into the marriage. She went to the Shver and he said, you're the Yarev. Amar lo, how you dvar me aylam? I have no idea what you're talking about. Asu sadi. In the meantime, Edom came. Amri in, kasavla. I had kriyas ksuba under the chuppah. I read it. I saw it. It was there. Right? Edom showed up and they said, you got to pay attention back in the day. And there's no question. Amar lo, who's? Then he said afterwards, yeah, paratiyah. It's true. I paid. And I'm willing to swear shvuah sasses. Anyone willing to be megabel my shvuah, I'll give it to you. So the Gemara says, also the kamed rabchia. They came to rabchia. Amar lo, rabchia said, this halacha that you're huchsik kafrin lo'isa moment, and once you are proven to be a shtikel shakrin as it relates to this moment, at this point you lose your ability to swear. Similar halacha. If somebody owed his friend a shvuah, he said I swore, and then Edom say he didn't swear, and now he wants to swear huchsik kafrin lo'isa shvuah. Now we don't trust your shvuah anymore. So just like you have this halacha regarding paraiti, you have it regarding nishbati. They said this halacha to Rabbi Avoh. Amalahu. Rabbi Avoh said, "Mestaber milsa the Rabbi Abin." It's mestaber the Rabbi Abin said his halacha. Shenischayu shvua bebezdin. Only if the shvua that we're talking about is a shvua deiraisa, it's a shvua that bezdin is mechayiv the person. Av chayiv atzmoi shvua. But let's say this person wasn't chayiv shvua, not shvua deiraisa, not shvua derabana neither. But the point is, the person was mechayiv himself shvua. Right? Sometimes a person will say, "I'll swear," and he offers it up. It's not something he has to do, but he says, I'll tell you what, here's the deal, and if you ever need me to swear, I'm willing to swear. In that case, this halacha wouldn't apply. Neman, he'd be believed later. Meaning, the only time we say, huchsik kafrin l'sh'oysa shvua, and we don't trust you with a shvua anymore, is if the shvua is something that Bezdin mandated. If this person offered up the shvua, and he said he swore the shvur that he offered up, and then Edom proved that he didn't swear the shvur that he offered up, and then he said I did swear. So then you're not going to have the halacha of huksa kafan lois and shvur. And the reason is avad inish the mikri va'amar, because sometimes a person, if you look at Rashi, Rashi says that a person might think that being that Bezdin wasn't really mechayiv him the shvur, but he was mechayiv himself the shvur, so maybe that shvur is not such a serious shvur. Meaning, when a person lies in Bezdin, if there's any way to justify what this person was doing, and we can come up with any rationalization, we're willing to do that. That's the svar of Ishtamut. They come Ishtamut that you find throughout the beginning above a Metziah. So here too, being that this shvur was something that he offered up, even though he said, I swore already, love to ask this person such a terrible guy. In his mind, he's this type of shvur he's willing to lie about, because this is a shvur that he offered up on his own. But it doesn't make him a huchsik kafran lois a shvur, and as a result, this halacha is not going to apply. So the Gemara says that, again, Rab Abin said in the name of Rabbi Lo, send the name of Rabbi Yochanan this halacha, the Oyvim told it to Rabbi Avoh, and Rabbi Avoh said, "Mestaber milsa de Rabbi Abin." It's mestaber. This is only true if Bezdin was mechayiv the shvur. So the Gemara says that Ruah kamei de Rabbi Abin. They went back to Rabbi Abin and they told him Rabbi Avoh's asterisk. his caveat that he put on this halacha, Amalu, he told him, Ano Nami, Bebezden Amri. True. Well said. I was Makatzer, Bemokim, where maybe I could have been Meirich, but where Rabbi Avos said it spot on. It was only meant on a Shvuah that Bezden was Itmanami, Amr Rabbi Amr Rabbi Yochim. Hoy Chav Chavay Shvuah Bebezden. If someone was Chay Shvuah in Bezden, a Furish. The Amari send the Shpati, but Edomi, the Noise Shlein Nishba, Hursach, Kafim, Loise Shvuah. This halacha is going to apply. So before we go right there, and we return back to our regular program, it's so hard to keep cheshbon of going back and forth with regards to Matzah Shtar Chayim and all the Kafrin Hoyo Vasliyah, the name of Bemilsa, just one R, and that is. So what's the takeaway of this halacha? It is an idea that even though a person has an ability to say paraiti lahayudvar meyolam, albeit with a shvuah sesa sometimes, but there's a concept of huchse kafrin loisadavar. And if a person is a kafrin loisadavar at that point, you lose your ability to say any tainas. The ktsois in Simin Ayin Tes, Sif Kotten Hay, says, Kosha Litufa, says, I've a bomb kasha. It's not a bomb kasha. That is, if you take a look in Shulchan Aruch, in Hilchis Gezela, it's in Chay Shemish, but Simin Shin Samach Aleph, Sif Ches, says the Mechaber, Hagoizel Es Chaveiroi, Be'etim. If somebody steals from his friend, then there are Edim that witnessed the Gezela. Yesh Oimim She'enoi Tzorech La'achsaloi Be'edim. There are some that say that the Gazan does not have to return what he stole Be'edim. V'yesh Oimim She'tzorech. And some say he does. So if somebody's a Gazlan, Edim witnessed the Gezela, you have a Chiyah, V'hesh V'esla Gezela Asher Gazal. Until you return it, Mamayni Gabach. Do you have to return it with Edim? Do you not have to return it with Edim? Yesh Oimim. You don't have to. Yesh Oimim you do. What does it mean, Yesh Oimim She'enoi Tzorech La'achsaloi Be'edim? What does that mean in English? It means that if the person would say paraiti at some point, he would be believed. Now, maybe he'd have to swear shvuas hesis, learn, say the nezikin. But the point is, you have an emunah to say paraiti. Frank, the ktsois, koshali tuva. I don't understand this yeshayim, it's a pel. He says, so you talked away over here in the end of Shnayim Moichs and Yudzayin Amad Aleph. That is a concept that if a person is huchse kafrin lo yisadavar, at that point you lose your ability to have any time of paraiti. How could a gazlin be better than a huchse kafrin? A koyver the pikodin, a kafrin is like a gazlin, but the gazlin is the avia voice when it comes to the sugya. And if the halach is that even a kafrin, huchsa kafrin loisadavar, you lose your ability. There's no migus. You need aidim. Without aidim, we're not going to trust the fact that you paid back. Why? Because you already showed that we can't trust you when it comes to this inyan. So freik tiktzois. If that's the case, kashal lituva. How could it be that a gazlin would be worse? Now the truth is, it's 2 days in Shulchan Aruch. Yeshayim she'enitzarich lachsloi beaidim yeshayim she'tzarich. Said yeshayim she'tzarich. It's very good. It's supported very much by our sugya of huchse kafrin lo isa mamen. But the man number that says ein itzarach lachsel loy beedim lechura it's a pella. Says the ktsayis mustama. You have to say that if you're ma'ayin in the rishonim here, the rishonim say some that the only time this halach is true of huchse kafrin lo isa mamen is if the person he denied in bezdin. Meaning, if you simply denied in front of Eidim, that wouldn't make you a kafran loisa mamon. If you denied in bezdin, that would make you a kafran loisa mamon. It's a machloikis rishonim. But that's what many of the rishonim say. Says the ktsois, lefi zetz gavaldik. It's true, a gazlan is a bigger gazlan than is the kafran. But the point is that the kafran did it in bezdin. The gazlan didn't do it in bezdin. Hagoizel is chaver be'edim, but he didn't do it in front of bezdin. Azoy meshigir is anish. So being that he didn't do it in front of bezdin, so therefore, over there, the halacha of huchse kafrin lo isamam is not going to apply. In fact, says the ktsois, it is very stark and makim to say that this machloikis that's brought down in Shulchan Aruch, which is rooted in Rishonim, where the hagoizel is chaver be'edim, tzorich lachsloi be'edim, ein tzorich lachsloi be'edim, is totally in this machloikis Rishonim right in above Mitzvah Daf Yitzayin Amar Aleph. If you hold that huchse kafrin lo isamam is only true if it's in Bezdin, so then hagoizel is chaver be'edim, ein tzorich lachsloi be'edim. If it's true even bifnei edim, so then the halach is going to be that hagoizel is chaver be'edim. Oh, it's bifnei edim. It's going to be tzorich lachsloi be'edim. But I tell you, I saw Rabbi Chanan in Kovit Shiurim, he mutches very much with this ktsois. He says, what's taka the difference between someone that's a kafron b'fnei bezdin or someone that's a kafron b'fnei edim? Huchse kafron lo isa mamon is only true if it was in bezdin. Not if it's b'fnei edim. The Rashba on Davava Mer Aleph, not Vava Mer Beis, that's Takfu Koyin. The Rashba on Davava Mer Aleph earlier in the Masechta says that the reason is because it's a svara that a person doesn't show his cards outside of Bezdin. Meaning, if you know that you're going to court with somebody, a guy meets you in the street and he says, Nu, what do you have to say about this, right? No comment. I'm not going to tell you what. I'm going to show you my hand now, so then you can go back and you can convene and figure out what your next step is going to be. So if a person denies something outside of Beis Din, there's never a taina on the guy. It's never considered a maisa kfira. And the reason is because there's a umdina, a very, very sound, reasonable umdina, that a person is not going to show his cards outside of Beis Din. So if you're a kafir in Beis Din, well, now's the time to tell the truth. So by being a kafir in Beis Din, you're a kafir. But chutz le Beis Din, says, look, Rabbi Chanan, I don't understand the choice. It's true in the Gemara, it's mavur. There's a chiluk between a kafir in the Beis Din and a kafir chutz le Beis Din. But that's because the Shem kafir really only is true if you're a kafir in the Beis Din. If you're a kafir in chutz le Beis Din, you're not a kafir. Because the fact that you deny doesn't mean anything. The fact that you deny it is because you didn't want to show your hand. About Gazlin, chutz le Beis Din is a Gazlin. So as it relates to kafrin, you needed to be in Beis Din in order to be a Gazlin. A kafrin chutz le Beis Din is the kind Gazlin. That's why it has to be b'fnei Beis Din. But the point is that the shita that holds that a kafrin b'Beis Din is only then considered a kafrin, because only then are you a Gazlin. But a Gazlin chutz le Beis Din is still a Gazlin. If a Gazlin chutz le Beis Din is still a Gazlin, what difference would it make copy the Gazlin if it's in Beis Din outside of the Beis Din? Either way, we hadn't spoken out of Tzoyis in a few days. The Gemara Weikner. Omer Rab Asi, Omer Rab Yoichnan. Hamoitzi Shtarchay B'Shuk. If somebody finds a Shtarchay in the Shuk, the Kosna by Hempik, and there was a Hempik on it, meaning it was a Shtar Mekut, the Kosna by Zmanoi, by Bayon, and it was a Zman. And the Zman is that day. Meaning, this Shtar fell on the day that it was written. Yachziru L'Bailam, Dalach is, then you for sure return it to the Bailam. So again, this is all postscript to the mission on Daf Yud Beis Amud Beis. If somebody finds a Shtar Chayv, what do you do with it? Machliks remain the Chachamim, Achrayis, not Achrayis. What if it's a shtar hakna? What if it's a shtar sheish bahempik? What if it's a shtar chaltosa? What if it's a shtar adrachta? What if it's a shtar sheish bahempik, but this man was bay bayon? That's this specific case of Rabbi Yochanan. So if somebody finds a shtar chayv shuk, this hempik, this man is today, then the halach is to give it to the Bible. Rabbi Yochanan explained, imish from kasav luvas floy, because what are you worried about? You're worried about kasav luvas floy lava, kasav bayempik, right? Once there's a hempik, you're not worried about that. And imish from peroin, you're worried that he paid it, the priya basuya meloy chashin. What, you think the guy paid it back that day, right? Chazaka ain't adam perea toich smane. We always say over that. The Samarov used to say that today all the chazakas are bottled. The only chazaka that still stands is chazaka ain't adam perea chayve toich smane. But for sure, this bay bayoy, where the guy borrowed money in the morning and he paid it back in the afternoon, that's ready, the priya basuya meloy chashin, and therefore you don't have to worry about it. Is that true? Rabbi Yochanan said, "Lepriya basiyom aloich hashinon." Va'atu da'amid mishmei Rabbi Yochanan. You yourself said the name Rabbi Yochanan. Shtar shalava boy. If somebody borrowed money with a shtar uparo and then he paid it back, in the chayz of aloiva boy, the halachas he can use the same shtar again. Shekvar nimchal shiputay. So somebody borrowed money from somebody, borrowed $1,000. He gave back the $1,000. Then he says, "Vice vos." I want to borrow another $1,000. So you can't use the same shtar. You got to tear up the shtar, you got to use a new shtar. And the reason is nimchal shibuda. It's a fancy term. The point is that every shtar comes along with a shiba that allows the malva to collect from the lakuchas. Once a shtar is paid, that shibud is bottle. Shibud is a real thing, right? We said earlier, the shtar akna requires a kinyan to create the shibud. So at that point, the shibud is gone. It's null and void. So you can't just use the old shtar. Because if you're going to use the old shtar, you're going to use the shtar to be turned from the lekuches when really there's no shibud, because the shibud is not here anymore. So it's too late. So the Gemara says, Amos, when Rabbi Yochanan said this memra, what was he talking about? Did he mean that a guy borrowed money on Sunday, and it was written the day of Sunday, and now he paid it back on Tuesday, and he wants to use it again, and says Rabbi Yochanan, even though it's the same amount of money, you can't use the same shtar. Why? Shekval nimchal shibude. I don't understand. My ear, shekval nimchal shibude. What do you have to come into the reason that it was nimchal shibude? Typically, the havalei muktim. Say better, it's muktim. You're borrowing money on Tuesday, and the shtar says Sunday. Vitnan shtari chayva muktamim psulim. A shtar muktim is always possible. Why? Because you're going to be tired from the lekucha shaloi gedin. Elul abiyayme. Must be it's the same day, because otherwise we're not having this conversation. Alma pari in shibiyayme. So you see, people sometimes pay on the same day. So Rabbi Yochanan is saying a halacha that if you find the shtar chayva is kosa by zmani, you for sure give it back to the mavam, because there's no way in the world the person ever paid back on the same day. I'm a furish a halacha that Rabbi Yochanan said that only makes sense if sometimes that's what people do. So the Gemara says, said, no, I never said the name Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan said a person would never do it. What I meant was, or what I was saying really was, that you didn't understand this. It's not Shchiach. And being that it's not Shchiach, so it's for that reason I said what I said. But Avada, it's possible. Rabbi Yochanan had to say the halacha in the event of. Is it Shchiach? No. So if you find the Shtar Chayv, you give it back to the Malva. Because even though it is possible that he paid it on that day, but in this case, for sure, loy chashinu leperayin, and therefore the halach is, without a question, you're going to give it back to the mouth. Rav Kahana said a different halach. Rav Kahana said that this, that Rabbi Yochanan said, that if somebody finds a shtar chay, the kasa by hempik, and kasa by zmane by bayam, the halach is, you give it to the bailim. It's talking about kishachayev moida. It's talking about with the loiv is moida that he didn't pay. Meaning, in the loilam Rav Yochanan is chayish for peroin, even by bayam. So why are you giving it back to the Malva? You're giving it back to the Malva because the Leiva says, he's Maida. Oh, he's Maida. But the Gemara says, Yachi Maida Meimer. So what's the Chiddush? If the Leiva is Maida, so he's Maida. So the Gemara says, I'll tell you what. Malva Teimai would have thought, Hai Mifra Par. Maybe Loilam, really, the loan was paid. The reason the loiv is moida, he's saying give it to the malva, is mishum the kaboy mahadul misvei zim nachriti, because he wants to borrow money again, so he's saying give the shtar to the malva as if it's outstanding. In his mind, he's going to borrow money from him again. Ulapshniti the safra chayish, and the reason he would do this is because at least he'll save the few shekels, the pshiti, literally the few prutas that he's not going to have to pay the sofer. Kamash malon, that's the chiddush. That the imkain malva gufe lo shavik, the malva would never allow something like this to happen. Sovar, because he's concerned, shami bi rabbana, the rabbana are going to get wind of this, umafsidili, and they're not going to allow me to collect from this. Meaning, this person, the malva would never go through with this, and being that the person would never go through with this, so therefore the halacha is that you give it back to the malva because we assume that it's for sure legitimate. Again, we found the shtar chayv. The shtar chayv has a hempik, so you know for sure there was a loan. And it's written by Bayoim. And the question is what to do with it. Says Rabbi Yochanan, what you do with it is you give it back to the malva. Why do you give it back to the malva? Maybe you give it to the loiva. Maybe it was paid. And don't tell me loy chashin le piroyim by Bayoim, because Rabbi Yochanan cheat is that we are chayish for piroyim by Bayoim. The answer to that question, it's talking about what the loiva's moida. The loiva told the malva, and he told Bez, no, I didn't pay it, the loan is outstanding, give it to the malva. Okay, so it's so pashut, what's the chiddush? There's no argument, so why are you in court? Why are we even having this conversation? The teretz is because we're concerned that maybe really the loiva did pay, there is no outstanding loan. But the loiva wants to borrow money again from the malva, and he wants to use the same shtar all over again. Meaning, if he says that he paid up the loan already, then Bezin's going to tear it up because Nimchal Shibudai. So he says, give it to the Malva. In his mind, he's going to borrow money again and let him just keep that shtar. He's going to borrow it today anyways. And therefore, you would have thought you shouldn't do it, because then you're going to be Tairif from Lekuchos using a shtar that was already Nimchal Shibudai. Kamash Malon, that you can do it. What's Takib Shah? What's the Kamash? The Kamash is the Malva's not going to go along with this. And the reason he's not going to go along with this is because he has nothing to gain. Like, why would he do this? I'm to save you a few dollars, I should take this risk. Go pay the Seifer for a new Shtar and then I'll lend you money. Otherwise, there's no reason for me to do this. But the Gemara says, you see from here that you're never concerned that a Malva's going to go along with, you know, one of these shenanigans, right? The benefits the Loiva, but what does the Malva have from this? Says Gemara, is that true? Why is this different than the Mishnah that we had when this whole story began? If somebody finds a Shtar, if there's a Chayis Nechasim, right? One of the Ikimtas anyways was, it's talking about where the loiva was moita. And still the halacha is loyachse, right? You don't give it back to the malva. Why? The loiva is moita mishum, because we're concerned. Shema kosav lova is ben nisan, v'loi lova atishri, because we're afraid that maybe the zman of the shtar is off, right? Once it was lost and dropped, it's already raised in the shtar. So we're concerned that maybe they wrote the shtar in nisan, and the halva didn't happen until tishrei, v'asik lemitrav lekuchos min nisan v'atishrei shaloi kedin. And you can end up being toirif from the Lekuchot Shnoloi Kedin. Now, over there, V'loi Amrina, we didn't say that. What are you worried about? The Malva's never going to go along with this. Then came Malva Gufei Loi Shavik, right? The Amalek, Snoiv Shtar Achrina Betishrei, the Dilma Shami Rabbanim, absolutely, right? You don't say that the Malva says, why would I ever do that? No, if the Shtar was lost, tear up the Shtar and let's write a new Shtar. So you see that the Malva's willing to go along with this. If the Malva's willing to go along with it in the Mishnah, Daf Yudbeis Amidbeis, some Heichatesim, Rabbi Yochanan Salacha, the way Rav Kahana is explaining, the Malva won't be willing to go along with it. The Gemara says, Amri Hasam Yishum the Islay Ravcha. Over there, the Malva's going along with it because the Malva stands to benefit. What's his benefit? The Katarf Lekuchas Minisan Vatishrei. Because he can now get from the Lekuchas from Nisan until Tishrei. So he has some benefit. He's not going to say anything. Over here, keeping the Leslie Ravcha. But over here, he doesn't benefit anything. Why? Because the Soif, Stoif, Shtara, Ha'idna, Ksiv. Over here, the Shtar, and the Zman of the Shtar is today. My Iko, what does he benefit from the Shtar? The Katar of Lekuchos. That he can get from the lekuchos, which you can get with the shtar, you can get from a new shtar. It's the same day anyways. B'shtar shenimcha shibuta le'shavik. So there's no reason he would allow himself to try to be tired from the lekuchos b'shtar shenimcha shibuta, lest he end up getting into a situation. So would the malva play games? Yeah, if an interest, if he has some matan zchut b'tzida, then maybe he would do it. In the Mishnah daf yud beis amud beis, where could be he gets 6 months worth of lekuchos that he could go after. So that has a value to him. That's something that he would do. But in this case, he has nothing to gain, since for this, for that reason, this is not something he would go along with. Somebody is toyin acha maisa bezin. So somebody owed somebody money, and this chiyuv mamin was a maisa bezin. So what's an example of a maisa bezin? Rashi gives a few examples. Last Rashi on Yizayin Amad Aleph. You're going ksuba, mazin ha'isha v'habanois. So anytime a person owes someone something, but it's not because of a privately negotiated transaction, but it's a tanai bezin. Bezin is the one that says you owe this person money. You can't just now tie a paraiti. You can't just say, yeah, I paid Shavuos Hesses. Hatoyin acha maise bezdin, loy amaklum. You're going to have to prove that you actually made payment. Unless you can prove you made payment, meaning ordinarily, if somebody wants to get money from somebody, hamoitze mechaveri alvarai. When it comes to maise bezdin, it's just the opposite. Hatoyin acha maise bezdin, loy amaklum. The halacha is that I have to prove that I made the payment. Otherwise, I'm guilty until proven innocent. Says the Gemara, my time, but what's the reason for this? Kol Maisa Bezdin commanded not get shtar biyadadami. Because every Maisa Bezdin we look at is if the person has a shtar. If a person has a shtar, you can't tie a paraiti. Why do I have the shtar? So obviously, you lose your ability to say paraiti. Anytime a person's tevei a mamin, a woman's being tevei a ksuba, the children are being tevei a mezoinis. If you're being tevei a beis on a maisa bezin, it's as if you're holding a shtar. If it's as if you're holding a shtar, so the halacha is going to be that you can't taina paraiti. Says the Gemara, Amalei Rabbi Chiya bar Abba, Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Chiya bar Abba told Rabbi Yochanan, "Avloi mishna seinu hizu." I think it's a mafurish a mishna. So again, Rabbi Chiya bar Abba sent the name Rabbi Yochanan. Hatoy nachem maisa bezin lo yomaklum. So Rabbi Chiya bar Abba told Rabbi Yochanan. He said, "I don't understand. It's a mafurish a mishna." I think this chiddush you're saying is a mishnah. What's the mishnah? I see a get in maksuba. This is a woman that got divorced, and she pulls a get out of her pocket, and she says that, you know, I got divorced. You owe me my ksuba. Where's the ksuba? Chabnish the ksuba. The halacha is goy b'ksuba. So she gets to collect the ksuba, and unless the husband can prove that he paid the ksuba, the halacha is she's going to collect the ksuba. What's the kasha? The kasha is, why shouldn't the husband be believed to say paraiti? Now if you have a shtar mimeil, you know, she doesn't have a shtar. All she has is a get. She has proof that she's divorced, but she doesn't have proof that she never received her ksuba. So if that's the case, why is the halacha that goy v'ksuba? So why can't he say paraiti? Like any time a person goes over to someone and says, you owe me money, prove it to me. Why is the onus on him to prove it? The teretzes must be because ksuba is a maisa bezdin. The raisa, the rabbanon, either way, it's a maisa bezdin. And being that ksuba is a maisa bezdin, hatoy nach a maisa bezdin lo yomaklum. So the Gemara says, Rabbi Yochanan told Rabbi Chiya bar Abba, you're right, it's a Mishnah, but he said, let's be honest. The only reason you chop this Mishnah is because I told you the Chiddush, right? That happens sometimes. You're telling someone about it, he gets the punchline. Yeah, I walked you all the way to the water, so you figured out how to, right? He laughed at the loyloch. Chaspa, loy mashkechas marganisa too. If I went to pick up the chaspa, you would have never found the marganisa. So Taisva says, incidentally, this is like by far the lightest Taisva's on the daf. He says, when's the last time you picked up a chaspa and you found the marganisa, right? People are going to start walking around the streets picking up chaspas. Had I not picked up the chaspa, you would have never, just like a funny muscle, because it's not like this marganisas. Like marganisa is a diamond, it's a piece of jewelry. When's the last time you saw it under a chaspa? So Tais has a hope shot. Tais says, we're talking about not a chaspa that you find on the side of the road. It's talking about a chaspa that's on the bottom of the ocean. These are deep sea divers. They're, you know, treasure hunters. I don't know who these chevra are, but the bottom line is they're trying to find pearls that, you know, sank by, you know, from one of these shipwrecks from the pirates back in the day. But the bottom line is that Taisvis is muching over here. I probably never heard such a thing. But underneath the chaspa, you're going to find the marganisa. But regardless, he told him, yeah, you're right, it's not a mishnah. But the only reason you chop this mishnah is because I told you what I told Abaya. So Abaya said, my marganisa. Abaya heard this, and he said, what's the ganze marganisa over here? Everyone's so excited. Kivu, you have a riot from this mishnah? That I told you, nacha maisa bezin lo yom aklum dilma. Maybe the mishnah's talking about, maybe it's talking about people didn't write a ksuba. The get, hainu ksuba. Over there, the get is the ksuba. Wait, see your get. Let the get bribe the ksuba. Meaning, it could be if somebody walks into bezin and says, you owe me money based on a maisa bezin, the person says, paraiti. Open up a shulchan aruch. See how to deal with it. Over here, it's tantamount to having a shtar because she has a shtar. She has the actual get. Maybe we're talking about b'mokim shein kosvin ksuba. Over there, the get is the ksuba, right? It's not just that she has a shtar. The get is the shtar. Get hainu ksuba, says the Gemara. Abo b'mokim shein kosvin ksuba. But if it's in a mokim shein kosvin ksuba, in a kita ksuba gavya, iloi loi gavya. Maybe then you have to have the ksuba. And if you don't have the ksuba, there's a reis on the fact that you don't have the ksuba. And just because you come in mitkayacha ma'isa bezdin, loi omar klum, meaning b'mokim shein kosvin ksuba. So over there, I could hear that the get would be in lieu of the ksuba. So if she has the get, so there the halacha would be that you can't say paraiti. But if she doesn't have the ksuba, the fact that she doesn't have the ksuba should be a reya. So, and therefore, maybe the husband should be believed to say paraiti. Amar abaya. But the Gemara says, hadar am abaya. Skipped an important word. We have hadar am arava. Hadar am abaya. Abaya said, lav milsi da ami. No, it's a mistake. If you can tell me, suga mokshen kaisim ksuba. Aba mokshen kaisim ksuba in the kitik suba gavi iloi loi gavi. But mokshen kaisim ksuba. If she has a ksuba she can collect, but she doesn't have the ksuba she can't collect. Almanim in a erisim b'may gavio. And almanim in a erisim, how is she going to collect? Meaning, place where there's no ksuba, there you can tell me that the get is going to be in lieu of the ksuba. But b'makim she'en koisvin ksuba, if the woman was an almana, min ha'erisin, that's what the Gemara says, over there, there's no get. And if there's no get, if the husband could always say paraiti, because atoy nachat ma'isa bezdin, not lo yamar klon, amar klon, so how's she ever going to collect the ksuba? Meaning, be'edim misses ba'al, she'll bring the edim that proved that her husband died, for lehmet paraitiya. He's going to say, I paid for it. And if I paid it, so in that case, I'm off took. V'chite machinami, you'll say, erchinami. If he says paraiti, he's going to be believing. Okay, ma'yul chacham betakanta. The chacham didn't accomplish anything with their takana. Meaning, if you're going to tell me that atoyin acham ma'isa bezdin is amaklom, so explain to me, how is it possible, how will an almanim and an erison ever be able to collect her ksuba? Chazal masakin ksuba for almanim and erison. So how will she ever be able to get her ksuba? The husband will always say, paraiti. Now, bishlam, if atoy nachem ma'isa bezin lo yomaklum, so I have to prove paraiti. If he doesn't prove paraiti, so that she'll get her ksuba. And if he proves paraiti, obviously paid it. So what are you worried about? But if you're going to tell me atoy nachem ma'isa bezin really is okay, you could say paraiti. And the mishnah that says oitzia get ein ksuba is b'mokim she'en koisvin ksuba, and being that it's a mokim she'en koisvin ksuba, so therefore the get is in lieu of the ksuba. So that's good if she's a megureshes. But what if she's an amana? If she's an amana, it's not going to work. Now again, b'mokim she'koisvin ksuba, so you'll always have the ksuba. But b'mokim she'en koisvin ksuba, we know from Masechtas Ksubas, mekoymes yesh, to a place where they used to write ksuba, the place they didn't write ksuba. So b'mokim she'en koisvin ksuba, and amana mino erisin, how is she going to be able to collect the ksuba? Now Tosfos and really all the Rishonim ask that why was Abaya's kasha hadamer Abaya amana mino erisin? What about amana mino nesuin? What difference does it make if it's b'mokim she'en koisvin ksuba? It matters if there was Erisin or there was Nesun. All you're going to have is Edim. And if you can say Paraiti, you're going to be out. So the Rishonim saying, the Ritva says it very mefurish, that even with Mokin Shein Kosvin Ksuba, La'acha Nesun, they used to always write a Ksuba. It was La'acha Erisin where there was different Minhagim. So really, it's only the game in Erisin. And a Chanami, the Gemara could have said Minan Nesun. But in most cases, it didn't play itself out Minan Nesun. Where it would play itself out for sure is B'mokim Shein Kosvin Ksuba by Amonim and Erisin. And the Gemara's kasha is, let him always say Paraiti. Either way, so that was Hodar Amin Abaya. So Abaya chapt that you're right. There is a raya from here. Again, Rabbi Yochanan said, Atoy Nacha Maisa Bezdin, Loi Omar Klum. Why? Call Maisa Bezdin, Command the Nokit, Shtora Biyade Dami. The Gemara said, I have a raya from a Mishnah. It's here, get Enim Oksuba, Goybe Ksuba. So Abaya wasn't so sure he liked the raya, because maybe it's B'mokin Shein Kosvin Ksuba, and there the get is the Ksuba. But Abaya Chabt, it's a mistake. Because if Atoy Nacha Maisa Bezdin really could say Paraiti, then Ma Ha'ilu Chachom B'takanto, when they said that Almon and an Erisin is going to be entitled to a ksuba, the husband could always say paraiti. Oh, so must he could always say the Yorshim, obviously. So therefore, must be Atoy Nachamaisa Bezdin is Amar Klum, says the Gemara. So one thing you see for sure from this is that Abai was of the opinion that an Almono Mino Erisin gets ksuba, right? That's Abai's comeback. Hodam Rabaya, you have a raya from Almanim and Erison. Says the Gemara, really, Markishish, Breda Rav Chizr Rav Ashi. So Markishish was Rav Chizr's son, told Rav Ashi. The Almanim and Erison, this looks like, how do you even know? Meaning, where did Rabaya know that Almanim and Erison has Ksuba? Did he know it from the following Mishnah? Meaning, just to set this up a little bit better, we're not learning Ksubas now, we're learning Ksubas, this goes a little faster. And that is that we know there's something called Ksuba. We know there's a Shaila whether Chiv Ksubas Dairaisa, Chiv Ksubas Dirabana. There's a Shaila whether an Arusa has Ksuba, Arusa doesn't have Ksuba. Nesua for sure gets Ksuba. What about an Arusa? That's the Shaila. Abaya is obviously naming on that an Almanim and Erisin gets Ksuba. So the Gemara says, Markshish Beid Rav Chizat Tor Rav Ashni, that headed Abaya know that Almanim and Erisin gets Ksuba. Ilemi Mehadatan, you know from the following mission, if a woman becomes an Almanim, she becomes a Grusha, Beimin Erisin, Beimin Anasub, whether it was Min Erisin, Min Anasub, Goy Vesakol, that loch is that she's Goy Vesakol, she's entitled to collect the entire Ksuba. So what do you see, Mefurish? See, Almana has Ksuba. But the Gemara says, "Dumah hechad kasav lo." Maybe it's talking about where he decided to go out of his way to give her a Ksuba. Meaning, he chose to give her a Ksuba. If he chooses to give her a Ksuba, that's something he has a right to do. You can do anything. But lav davki, you see from here that Almana gets Ksuba and that it's a Maisa Bezdin, right? You don't see that it's a Maisa Bezdin, that it's something that's mandated by Bezdin. Maybe, pum, kasav, chitay, mamayla, maybe you'll tell me what's the chiddish. Meaning, so why does the mission over there have to say that if he decided to give her a Ksuba, afilum and erisin she gets? Meaning, bishloimo, if he never gave her the Ksuba, it's a shayla Maisa Bezdin. So the mission's being mechadish, almonim and erisin gets Ksuba, or grushim and erisin gets Ksuba. But if you're telling me that it's talking about where he decided to give it to her, so what's the chiddish? Right, so I'll tell you the chiddish. Lafu came with Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, the Amar, who said him a sechtis Ksuba, like kasav la. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah argues in that Mishnah. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah says the only time an Almana min Erusin gets Ksuba is, or really, is he holds Almana min Erusin doesn't get Ksuba. See, even though there is a Ksuba, but it's only al das that there's going to be a Nesu. And after it was never a Nesu, and you actually don't end up getting the Ksuba. So says the Gemara, Slafuke, Shnitas Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. Dekanami. I'll prove to you, says the Gemara, that that's what's going on over here. That it was a Kosav law here. Meaning it's not a Maisa Bezdin. Because the Ketani, the Mishnah said, Goybes Hakoyl. Almana, Beimin Eris, Beimin Asun gets everything. What's everything? What does everything mean? Yeah, Bishloimu, the Kasav Lo, Bishloimu. If this is a man that went out of his way to give her Ksuba, Hainu, the Katani, Goyves HaKol. I understand what Goyves HaKol means. You know what Goyves HaKol means? It means the Ikri Ksuba. It means the Toisvis Ksuba. It means everything. Eli, Yamrit Loi Kasav. But if it's talking about what he didn't write the Ksuba, my Goyves HaKol, we're going to the Mishnah. What does it mean? Goyves HaKol, Mano Masayim, Huda Isla. All she's entitled to is Mano Masayim. Meaning, if we're dealing with the Tanai Bezin, we're dealing with the Maisa Bezin, so all it is Mano Masayim. So if all it is Mano Masayim, so what does it mean? Goyves HaKol. Elamai, we're talking about when someone went out of his way to give a ksuba, being that he went out of his way to give a ksuba, so that's where it's negeya. That's where it's negeya. This koivos hakol. The Gemara says, "Elamid the Tani Reb Chiya Bar Ami." Maybe the raya is from here. Again, we're trying to prove. How do you know Almanim and Erisin gets ksuba midin tonight best? So maybe it's from where Reb Chiya Bar Ami said, "Ishta Yarusa." If a man has a wife, she was his arusa, and then she dies. Loi oinein v'loi matamala. If he's a koyin, there's no aninos and there's no right for him to be metamater. V'chein he, so too she, if he dies, loy oinenes, v'loy metamaloy. Mesa, if she dies, eino yarsha, he doesn't yarshin her. Mesu, if he dies, goy v'ksubasa. Dalach is, she collects ksuba. So what do you see from here? Ishta yarusa, we need the last line. Meisu goyvek subasa. See, you see mefurish that an almana mina erisin has ksuba. But the Gemara says duma the kasav law. Maybe there too, it's talking about when he decided to give her ksuba. Maybe it's not a tanai bezin that is ksuba. He decided to give her ksuba. Says the Gemara b'chitema either kasav la ma'ila meimer. So what's the chiddush? Meisa ena yarsha nitzrichle. The chiddush is meisa ena yarsha. And the way the Rishonim explain it is that you would have thought that maybe in a case where he gave her a ksuba, then the halach is meisa yarsha. This that meisa, if she dies, he doesn't yarsha. Maybe that's only if he didn't give her a ksuba. But once he gives her a ksuba, maybe that creates a certain bond that now the halacha is that if she dies, he's going to be able to yarsha. But there's a zaitig echidish that's megei the halacha mesa in a yarsha. But the bottom line is you have no raya from this mishnah that the halacha is, or from this braisa, Tani Reb Chiya Bar Ami, that almanim and erisin gets ksuba. So because of this, the Gemara is going to revisit Abaya now, and the Gemara is going to say that Abaya, therefore, when he was hadar for a different reason. Let's just follow the paper trail over here. Rabbi Yochanan said the following halach: Atoyin acha meisne bezdin loy amar klum. Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba said, "I have a raya from a Mishnah. The Mishnah says, I tzio get ve'inu maksuba goy v'ksubasa. There's no ksuba. Goy v'ksubasa means you have to prove that you paid the ksuba. If you don't want to pay the ksuba, why?" I don't even have the ksuba in my hand.
I was Meitzia get the Inyan Maksuba. Teres is because it's a Maisa Bezdin. Maisa Bezdin is like holding the Ksuba. It's the same thing. It's Kamanda Nakat Shtar B'Yadi Dami. And therefore, the Halach is, unless you prove that you paid it, you're going to have to pay it. And that's a Raya that Toyin Acha Maisa Bezdin Lo Yom Aklo. Abaya heard this Raya, and Abaya said he doesn't hear the Raya. Because I can make an Akimta that maybe that Mishnah is talking about B'Mokim She'en Koisvin Ksuba. That's why he doesn't have the Ksuba. And Fakir, B'Mokim She'en Koisvin Ksuba. The get is the Ksuba. Meaning, Lo Oilam, if it was a Mokim She'en Koisvin Ksuba, and the purse, and the woman didn't have the ksuba, all she had was the get, so they would say, where's the shtar? Bring the ksuba and you'll be able to collect. It's a maisa bezdin. Maisa bezdin doesn't mean anything. But b'mokim she'en koisvin ksuba, then there is no ksuba. Faket, then the get is the ksuba. But you can't collect merely based on a maisa bezdin. Abayis respond, but then Abayis said, he thought about it, and he told him, Abayis said, la milsi damri, I realize I made a toys. Why? Because if really you tell me that Atoyinacha Maisa Bezdin is Omar Klum. And the only reason she can collect with the get is because it's B'mokim Shein Koisvin Ksuba. The get is the equivalent thereof of the Ksuba. Then how's an Almanim and an Erisin B'mokim Shein Koisvin Ksuba ever going to collect? Because Almanim and an Erisin B'mokim Shein Koisvin Ksuba is not going to have a get. All she's going to have is the Maisa Bezdin. And if all she's going to have is the Maisa Bezdin, the husband will always be able to say paraiti. And he said, really didn't accomplish anything. So from the fact that Almanim and an Erisin can collect her ksuba is a raya that even B'mokim Shein Koisvin Ksuba is a raya that Atoyin Acha Maisa Bezdin is loya maklum. But the Gemara said that this presupposes that is ksuba for Almanim and Erisin. How do you know this ksuba for Almanim and Erisin? From the Mishnah in the beginning of Perek Afalpi, there's no raya. From the Braisa Ishtay Arusa, there's no raya. El Omer Abaya, so the Gemara revisits Abaya. The Gemara says, you have to say Abaya said something else. If you think about it in Cheshbon, it sounds like basically what the Gemara just did was, is the Gemara knocked out its initial understanding. It's Poshup Shah in the Gemara. The Gemara, Mamish Poshup Shah, that the Gemara knocked out Abaya's Hodder based on the fact that Meheicha Teisi Almanim and Erisin is entitled to Ksuba. Makshin HaRishonim Toisves Dibra Maskla Almanim and Erisin and Ritva and the other Rishonim, they all ask. Meaning, you're basically telling me that Abaya's Taina, the way we think it is now, is not a Taina because Meheicha Teisi Almanim and Erisin is entitled to Ksuba. Open up a Ksuba's Gemara. Almanim and Erisin gets Ksuba. It's not debatable. You're right. You would doicha this Mishnah and you would doicha this Braisa. But at the end of the day, everybody knows this Raya's Mefuroshos that Almanim and Erisin is entitled to Ksuba. So if that's the case, why do you need an El Amar Abaya? And more than that, the Rishonim Mucha, what's going on in this Gemara? The Gemara, Minoha Milsa, the Amar, Minoha Ha Milsa, the Amir Rabbana, that Almanim and Erisin is entitled to Ksuba. What do you mean? Everyone knows this. You learn Ksubas, you know that. So what's the Shaila? There's a Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah who has a unique Shita. But Avad Almanim and Erisin gets Ksubas. If Almanim and Erisin gets Ksuba, so what? The Gemara couldn't prove it from this Mishnah, couldn't prove it from that price, and maybe we fall off of it. So say the Rishonim, the Ritva says it very clearly. He says, but the Avad the Gemara knew Almanim and Erisin gets Ksuba. But we're trying to say that Almanim and Erisin's Ksuba is a Tanai Bezdin. And the Gemara held that unless you can find a Mefurish and Mishnah, interesting, or a Mefurish and Braisa, then Almanim and Erisin gets Ksuba, it can't be a Tanai Bezdin. Is there Ksuba? Yeah. But you want it to be a Tanai Bezdin. It should be a Maisa Bezdin. You're going to have the Allah of Atoyinach, a Maisa Bezdin, Le Yom Aklum. So for that already, you're going to have, and what the Gemara basically said was, is that if Abaya is bringing Almanim and Erisin's Ksuba into this conversation, that means Bal Karchach, it's a Maisa Bezdin. If it's a Maisa Bezdin, there must be a Mishnah of Braisa to support it. And the Gemara struck out, it couldn't find a Mishnah of Braisa to support it. And if that's the case, it's not proof that Almanim and Erisin maybe doesn't get Ksuba, for sure it gets Ksuba. Abahamiya Maisa Bezdin, it's not. If it's not a Maisa Bezdin, so Abayas Hodar is not really a Taina, but the Gemara says like this. El Abayi Megufi de Masisa Gehadabe. The reason Abayi was Chayzer, Abaya was chayzer for a different reason. It was migufa demasnisen. Meaning, Reb Chiya bar Abba said, I've arrived from the Mishnah of Yitzia get v'inim aksuba, that atoyin acha maisa bezin lo yom aklom. Abaya said, what's your raya? Maybe the Mishnah is talking about b'mokoyim she'en koisvin ksuba. Hodar amar Abaya was migufa demasnisen. He's all good, I took b'mokoyim she'en koisvin ksuba askinon. Because if you're going to tell me the pshat in that Mishnah is b'mokoyim she'en koisvin ksuba, and the reason that Allah is that the husband can't say paraiti is to get hainu ksubas, because the get is the ksuba, or to get manu masayim ksivbe. Does the get say manu masayim? What do you mean the get is the ksuba? How could the get be the ksuba? What does it say in the get? All the get says is that this woman is divorced. It doesn't say in the get the manu masayim. So how could that be the ksuba? must be if the husband's not believed to say paraitis because of the ma'aseh bes. Now v'chitein, he continues, you'll tell me that, what do you mean? That there's a minimum amount of ksuba that every woman is entitled to. We know it's a manu masayim. And the get, being that she can use it to collect the ksuba, see, even though it doesn't say the manu masayim afurish, but it's kiman d'chsib beidami. But the Gemara says, litoin v'lema paraiti. Let him say paraiti. Now v'chitein, you'll tell me, dom mina le'i paraiti. If I paid it, so why are you holding on to the get? Amalan, like Shafkisan. Right? Meaning, why? If he paid it, then why does she still have the get? So he's going to say, because she didn't want to give me the get back. And it's understandable why she didn't want to give the get back. Omro, she said, I need the get to be able to get married. What we should have done was, you should have tore the get. And written on the torn get the following. This get that we tore, it's not because of the apostle get. Meaning, she can use this get to get married. It's like this, she won't be able to collect the ksuba a second time. But the Gemara says, it's not a time. Because Atta called the Migvi v'beitina Migvi. Not every time a person collects the ksuba does it happen in Bezdin. Bezdin knows how to do this. They're professionals. They can tear it up and they can write over it. But Lav Dafka, where you paid the ksuba, was this something that was feasible? Was this something that you were able to do? And being that Lav Dafka, this is something that you were able to do. So it's for that reason you can't tell me then that pshat in the Mishnah there is that it's b'makim she'en kaisvin ksuba, and the reason she's collecting is she's collecting with the get, because if that's what's going on, is the get itself would not be enough of a reason for it to be able to collect. Meaning, if the halach is that atoyinach ha'maisa bezdin is omar klum, you could always say paraiti, then she wouldn't be able to collect with the get either. And the reason is because the get can never be the ksuba. The reason that get can never be the ksuba because the get is not proof that I didn't pay this loan. The reason it's not proof I didn't pay the loan is because maybe I paid it, and the reason I couldn't get the get back is because she needed it. This umdana that you would never pay a loan without getting the get back, even though we saw in today's daf, sometimes people fall for this. But lamaisa, in most cases not, but by a get for sure not, because it's understood that she's going to need the get. So therefore, this fact that she has the get can't mean anything. So if I see a get, the eni maksuba goybik subas, it has to be atoyinach maisa bez loyamakom. Again, Rabbi Barabba told Rabbi Yochanan, I think this is a raya, toynacha maisa bezon yamaklub. Rabbi Yochanan liked the raya, because otherwise, how are you collecting with the get? Where's the ksuba? Why? Lo yamaklub. Why can't I say paraiti? It must be because there's a maisa bezdin. Kriyev ksuba is a maisa. Abaisa, well, who said it's the maisa bezdin? Maybe it's the get. Maybe it's the get. Maybe because the get is the shtar. And even though it doesn't say mono messiah, but it represents mono messiah. So why can't you collect it? The terrace is because the get is not a riot that I didn't pay. Because it could be I pay, and you're still holding on to the get, because you asked to keep it like this, you should be able to get married in the future. And even though ordinarily by a malva levy, we don't say that, if a malva is walking around with a shtar, but a get is a little bit different. Therefore, bal korchach, it has to be that this is a riot that I tell you, nacha maisa bezdin, loy amaklum, and that concludes an intense daf and a half of Gemara. Just to end with one lighter, all right, I prepared two, but we'll just speak out one. Maybe the other one we'll do tomorrow. And that is that the Gemara mentioned, the first aura was about Rav Nachman. The second aura is going to be about Rav Chisda. It's the lightest possible. So the Gemara said, Amalei Mar Kishisha Bereid Rav Chisda Rav Ashi. Mar Kishisha, who was the son of Rav Chisda, told Rav Ashi. So Rav Chisda had a son, Mar Kishisha. We know that Rav Chisda actually had two sons. One son was named Mar Kishisha. The other son's name was Mar Yanuka. Rashi, in the Sechtes Ksubis, Daf Pei Tes Amid Beis, says, quote, Shnei Banim Hoyu L'Rav Chisda. The same Shneim Shavim. They both had the same names. Elo Shehagadol Koyim Le Mar Kishisha. The older one was called Mar Kishisha. V'Letzar, and the younger one was Koyim Le Mar Yanuka. Right, Kishisha in Aramaic means older. Yanuka in Aramaic means younger. So the older son was called Mar Kishisha, and the younger son was called Mar Yanuka. It's interesting. Tosfos in Mesechtes Bava Basra, Dav Zayin Amid Beis, he brings Rashi and Ksubas Peites Amid Beis, and Tosfos over there says, I hope Shatz Fakert. I hold that Mar Kishisha was the younger of the two sons, and Mar Yanuka was the older of the two sons. Why would it be that way? Mar Kishisha was the son that was born to Rav Chisda when he was older, and that's why he was called Mar Kishisha. As opposed to Mar Yanuka, he was the son that was born to Rav Chisda when he was younger, thus he was called Mar Yanuka, but La'ayla Mar Yanuka was older than Mar Kishisha. But Al-Kopan and Rav Chisda had two sons. Both sons had the same name. The name was Mar. One was Mar Yanuka, the other one was Mar Kishisha, Machlik Yisrashi and Tosfos, which was the older one and which one was the younger one. Once upon a time, we spoke out
a tshuva from the Divrei Malkiel. This tshuva is in Chelek Gimel. It's in Simin Ayin Hei, and it's a famous tshuva. And the reason this tshuva is famous is because Reb Chaim Kanievsky, in his time of the Kra, in Parshas Kisetz, he made it famous. The shayla over there that was asked to the Divrei Malkiel was, there was a man who had a daughter whose name was Simcha. Because I'm sorry, I had a daughter whose name was Simcha. Simcha Lehman. So this is a man who has a daughter, her name is Simcha, and now they just had a son, and this person wants to name his son Simcha. So Simcha is maybe a girl's name and maybe a boy's name. And the question that was asked to the Divrei Malkiel was, can I name two of my children the same name? I have a daughter whose name is Simcha, and I want to name now my son also Simcha. Is that okay? We're going to have two children, one a girl, one a boy. They're both going to have this name Simcha, because L'chayru Simcha Shtims if it's a girl, and Simcha Zicha Shtims if it's a boy. This was the shayla that was asked to the Divrei Malkiel. Said the Divrei Malkiel that the emes is, it's a very strange thing. I never met a person who has two children that both have the same name. And really, go back generations, you're not going to find anything like this. Stating that, if you go back a very, very long time, you will find this. He says, there's a pasuk in Divrei Hayomim where you find that David HaMelech had two sons that had the same name, Ayin Sham. And he says, I have a raya from a Gemara as well, from the great Amir Rav Chisda. Rav Chisda had two sons, and they both had the same name. Their name was Mar. By the way, just to be clear, Mar means master, right? Abaya always refers to Rabbi as Mar. Mar Shmuel, right? Mar always means master, but Mar was also a name. In fact, it was a very popular name. It was a super common name back in the day. It can be called Mar. So in a world when they didn't name anyone Moshe, Nahar, and Avram, Yitzchak, Yaakov, as we've spoken about in the past, and the names, you know, Reuben, Shimon, Levi, Yehuda, but the name Mar was actually, some of those names were given, but the name Mar was a very, very typical name, right? The most famous is Mar Baravashi, but Mar was a very, very typical name. But Rav Chisda has two sons, both are named Mar. Now, to differentiate and to distinguish between the two, one was called Mar Yanuka, the other one was called Mar Kishisha, but says the Divrei Malkiel, you see, clear that people used to do it. So people used to do it, it's okay. But Lamai, so we don't do it now. So what's going on? Like, when did it really change? So he says there could be the pshat as follows. There's a medrash in the end of Parshas Noach. It's on the pasuk Ulashem Yulad Gamhu Avi Kol Bnei Efer. Says the medrash that if you go through the pasuk, it's a little bit unclear which one of the brothers were the oldest. It's not clear if Shem is older than Yefes or if Yefes is older than Shem. Ayin Shem in the medrash, Rashi brings in Chumash. It's a little bit unclear what's going on in that pasuk. But in middle of that medrash, says the medrash that you should know the following. Once upon a time, when people would name a child, they would name the child based on events that were going on in the world. Now people don't name their children that way anymore. Today, the way we name our children is based on the Zaydis. So a father, a mother, a baba, a Zayda. That's the way we give names today. So once upon a time, it was done based on what was going on. Today, we do a little bit differently. Now, what's the difference? And the Medrash has two nuschais. Rabbi Yossi, for Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel. Rabbi Yossi said, HaRishoinim al yidei shoyim akir mesichuseyim. They knew their yichas. They didn't feel that they had a name after their Zaydas, because they knew who their Zaydas were anyways. We don't know our yichos. Because this is a good way of solidifying your yichos. A good way to make your yichos known would be this. They would name L'Shem Ma'amura. We're not M'shtamish B'ruach HaKoydesh. We go based on the Zaydis. So the Medrash has two pshatim, Rav Shimon Gamliel and Rabbi Yossi. Why the Rishonim did it L'Shem Amura? Either it's because they knew their yichus, so they didn't have to solidify their yichus like this. You name based on the Amura, right? There's certain families, you know he belongs to a certain family or a certain sect just based on his name. The name can sometimes be very revealing. And Faket, there's a cheshbon to it. It's mamish based on a Medrash. The Inami, Rabbi Yossi, said it was based on Ruach HaKodesh. Says Divrei Malkiel, Yesh Leim Razai. Reb Yossi's reason was that the Rishonim knew their yichos, that they were moitzi and shmol l'shem ha'ma'ura. We don't know our yichos, therefore we do it l'shem ha'viseinu. See, he says that I think this is the nekuda. He says when people were naming l'shem ha'ma'ura, if they felt that there were two children, where the ma'ura was the same for the both children, so they would give the two children the same name. Today that we name based on Zaydis, so we don't give two children the same name. If it's working with the Ma'ura, so the Cheshbon is the Ma'ura. Whatever the Ma'ura is, it makes sense to work with the Ma'ura. If the Cheshbon is, the Zayd is then not. And he says two reasons. One reason is because if a person's going to name after
a father twice or a Zayda twice, it's going to look a little bit like he has two fathers, two Zaydas. And this halacha in Hilchas Kibud Av Eim, that even though we know a father because Rav Bilas Achra Abal, but at the same time, you have to be sensitive and not to act as if maybe you're not 100% sure that you know who your father is. So out of a disrespect for the Tata, so if you're going to give two names, so it looks like maybe there's two people, you're Masupik, who's really the Tata, and Azrael, you're giving this name, you're giving that name. And he says, besides, we know the neshama of someone you name after goes into the child, so it could be once you take this neshama for one of your children, you can't use it again, right? Can you sandik twice? There's such an Indian, you can't use it a second time. But if it's based on the Ma'ira, he says, I don't, what's the difference? So the Ma'ira, if a chas knit itself over, maybe it could be okay. So he says, Yesh loy ma'arav chizda, when he gave the name Mar, he was going based on the Mar. And he said it works out with Rabbi Yossi's Pshat, say Rabbi Shimon Gamliel's Pshat. According to Rabbi Shimon Gamliel's Pshat, it's based on Ruach HaKodesh, Rav Chizda. You think he had Ruach HaKodesh? Right, we know the truth from the Divrei Chaim, if Dar Chaim HaKodesh had Ruach HaKodesh. Snavad Rav Chizda had Ruach HaKodesh. So if he had Ruach HaKodesh, so what's the Shaila? This is something he was able to do, Hashem Amura. And if it's based on Yichus, he says Gishmak. He says, we know the Mishnah says in the beginning of Asar Yuchsin, Eretz Yisrael is Isol above her. What does that mean? In Eretz Yisrael, there were always questions about the Yichus. But in Bavel, they used to keep pristine Yichus. So Rav Chizda is one of the G'dolei Bavel. So he probably knew his Yichus. And being that he knew his Yichus, it wasn't necessary for him to name after Rabbi Yisenu. But the point is, now that we do it based on the Zaydas, we don't do it based on the Mura. So now already the whole thing is going to change. He goes on and he says, it could be that's why, once upon a time, people used to change names on a dime, right? Like Moshe Rabbeinu, instead of Hosea, we're going to call him Yeshua. And there's many examples of this. Says the Divrei Malkiel, an unbelievable thing. He says that when they used to name people based on the Ma'ira, they would change the name based on the Ma'ira also. The name is not the Zayda, the name is the Ma'ira. So if the name is the Ma'ira, so good. Now the Ma'ira warrants a new name. And that's why you find people changing names all the time. He says, but as it relates to naming after Zayda, then it's not Pashit. And then people only do it if it's Mishana Mazel and it's done for Chodesh Yesh by Sakonabi. He says, otherwise it's very rare. It's Loish Shchiach. Because now already you're playing in the Olam HaNeshamos. It's a whole different world. And being that it's a whole different world over there, it's going to be different. But Al-Kopanim, he says, that's the Nakuda over here. The Nakuda is that Rav Chizda maybe was naming after the Ma'ira, and being that he was naming after the Ma'ira to give two people with the same name is fine. He had two sons that was Mar. Later they would become known as Mar Yanuka and Mar Kashisha respectively. Incidentally, this is not the reason this tshuva is famous. We mentioned earlier, it's based on something that Rav Chaim said, and that is at the very, very end of the tshuva, the last three lines of this long Gishmak tshuva, says the Divrei Malkiel, U'belav hochi ani tomeya b'mashenagu likro l'nekevois b'shemoi shenekron behem zcharim. Says this whole idea that you're giving a girl a boy's name, the in roy lasuis k, the yesh bazek kamuch shoshois, the zecher v'davar yesh me isa the ishul silbash simlas gever. Could be even over the ishul silbash if you give a woman a boy's name or vice versa. So it says the different Malkiel, this Shiloh wasn't even a Shiloh of naming two children with the same name. This Shiloh was a Shiloh of a boy and a girl having the same name. He says to me, that's already a whole different Indian. Ani tameya, the ein roi lasis kain, the eish bazek kamach shoshes kemuvin, the zeichel ledover could be this falls into the isaloi silvash. So Chaim Kanievsky and Parshisky say it's in time of the crow. He says that the divrei Malkiel was ma'ir that it could be this an isaloi silvash for a girl to have a boy's name, boy to have a girl's name, as if names have to be either 100% boys' names or 100% girls' names. Says Reb Chaim, I found many names where you find side boys and side girls have the same names, and Reb Chaim lists no less this Vinegar Ayin test names, 79 names where he goes through it. This is Bikias on another level. We spoke at this raid by shortly after the Petir of Reb Chaim. This is a shtickle that brings out the goyness of Reb Chaim in an incredible way, where he's finding names. Some of the names that he brings out are not even names of Tanam Amiram, but it's Ben Ploini, where you find this name. It's absolutely brilliant. It's epic. It's page Reish Chaf Hei in Time in the Krah. He starts off with this Divrei Malkiel, but the end of the Divrei Malkiel, the last part. We spoke out the middle part of Divrei Malkiel, but just to end with this, and that is, so Rav Chizda had two sons, Mar Kashisha and Mar Yanuka. Rashi says Mar Kashisha was the older child. Tosfos said Mar Kashisha was the younger child. Why was it called Mar Kashisha? Because he was born to Rav Chizda when he was older. So I was thinking, it's like a little bit funny. I understand Rashi. Mar Kashisha is the older child. But why would you call a child Mar Kashisha based on the fact that he was born when his father was older? So what came to mind was the Velt says over that the Divrei Chaim wrote in his Tzava, he told his children, he had many children, and he told his children that all the kids should be mechabed his oldest child and they should be mechabed his youngest child. That's what he said. Be mechabed the oldest child, be mechabed the youngest child. And he said like this, the oldest child should be mechabed That's a chiyuv. L'rabbi zochicha agadol. But he said, my youngest child, my ben zakuni, mishmi v'chabit as well. And he said, the reason is because this child I had when I was already the Divrei Chaim. Divrei Chaim had a child when he was older. And he said, this child was born when I was a Divrei Chaim. This child is a different child. He has a different kedusha. Rav Chizda's younger child is Mar Kashisha. He was born when Rav Chizda shangivein Rav Chizda. That's a milo. Mar Kashisha is a milo. It's a milo to be the older child. But there's also a milo to the fact that this child was born when Rav Chizda shangivein Rav Chizda. The kedusha of that child is already a whole different child. And that's why this child was called Mar Kashisha.